Full Service Radio is supported by Compass, the future of real estate in the Metro DC area and beyond. Discover more at compass.com.
You're tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Friends, welcome to Shift Drink on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel here in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm Eddie Kim, proud DCist, cocktail officer, and nomadic bartender.
I'm Matt Ramsey, mezcal enthusiast.
No, I'm not Matt Ramsey.
I'm not Matt Ramsey. I'm Jack.
Jack Inslee, yes. Our fearless leader in the glass booth. He has decided to step out, join us out in the with us plebes.
Well, you know, I found this cowboy smoking Marlboro Reds out in the front, and
I know. We thought it was a homeless guy, but
yeah, he looked cool enough to tell stories on the radio. So I agreed to come in here and do this because of him.
It's going to turn into a roast, I feel like, between the two of you. But we are joined by a huge icon in actually podcasting and in the cocktail world. Damon Bolte, who is the co-host of Speakeasy Podcast out of Heritage Radio up in Brooklyn. He's also the proprietor of Grand Army, also in Brooklyn, and a brand ambassador for Brooklyn Gin.
Welcome. Hey, guys.
Hey. We're actually also joined by Allison Hillard, who bartends here at Jack Rose, just down the street, and competed last night at the Ricky competition.
Yeah. Also a DC brand ambassador for Brooklyn Gin.
Oh, yes.
And it wasn't last night. It was early as fuck.
It was okay, yes. It was an all-day affair.
A daytime competition.
It was rough.
And it was hot as fuck, so...
And I, of course, in addition to doing Full Service Radio, was the executive producer at Heritage Radio for 7 years or so, seven and a half years, and had the absolute pleasure of working with Damon Bolte here on the Speakeasy for a long-ass time.
Well, the pleasure was all mine, actually. It was great having you on, you know, like running that show. And also, like, I don't want you to, like, I don't want anyone listening to, like, misunderstand, like, exactly how much you did for that station. You built that motherfucker.
Hey.
And, I mean, like, you built it so much to where, like, you ended up being asked to come here and start up this radio station, which is beautiful. It's kind of fun to, like... I mean, it's an absolute pleasure to be on this show, by the way, guys. But it's also really fun to be back in the studio with you, Jack.
Amen.
And also, it's not being in a shipping container in Brooklyn is kind of, being in this very like beautiful posh hotel is kind of a crazy change. I don't even know what I'm thinking.
It's kind of like Heritage Radio is like the lovable beater that you can like smoke in and, you know, you're not too worried about
right.
it. And then this is like the rental luxury car.
Oh, but we don't have to be that fancy.
Yeah.
Well, I did bring you a couple of things from Brooklyn. One, I brought you a bottle of Brooklyn gin
to
make
really
you homesick.
Lovely. Yeah, thank you for
and
that.
And also, you got ice, motherfucker.
Iced.
We're going to do
not,
this.
It's
I'm
not,
doing
it's
a little high-low
milky
situation.
White color, but it is a bright, bright orange.
So this is a beverage that's brewed and bottled by the Smirnoff Company in Plainfield, Illinois. It's Smirnoff Ice Screwdriver.
Handcrafted.
Natural orange flavor. And it's a premium malt beverage with, again, natural flavors and certified and caramel colors. I like how they put that at the end.
Time to get down on one knee.
5.8 ABV. Here we go. We're swigging from the bottle.
For the listeners, I just want to make sure that they know this is like the 40-ounce version. It's not like the regular like 12-ounce. It's like a giant one, so you're going to have to split it.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Like, it should be in a brown paper bag, and you should be like sitting on the stoop.
Absolutely. in addition to the gin and the Smirnoff,
it's like orange juice.
The shift drink of choice that you wanted us to provide for you, beer and the Heart Start shot, which I didn't know... I didn't know what it was, which was a 50-50 between...
Fernet Branca and Branca Minta. So this actually... This, you know, kind of like the Ferrari and the CIA and stuff like that. Like these kind of like mixed shots. Like, you know, when we think about like mixed shots, you think about like, yeah, get some of that.
It was a sipper.
You think about the, you know, things like kamikazes and like buttery, slippery nipples, like all that stuff. So it's kind of crazy to me that it became like a modern phenomenon of like mixed shots that are like, kind of like more elevated, I would say, maybe, you know,
but
like
no more than two ingredients.
Typically, yeah. And so this one, for me, this is back when I was working at Prime Meats. I was running Prime Meats since in Brooklyn in Carroll Gardens. Started that in 2008, and this one came about. I hold the record for the most Fernet Branca of any cocktail ever. And I don't think anyone's ever going to be able to beat me because it's 3 ounces. It's 2 ounces of Fernet Branca and 1 ounce Branca Menta with lime and ginger beer. It's called the Waterfront.
Love you.
And so one day at brunch, I was working brunch because I'm not above that. You got to pay your dues, right? So we wanted like a quick little like shot, like kind of like in the true sense of like, you know, like the Corpse Reviver, like, number one, you know? It, like, the really incredibly bracing, like, boozy drinks. I was like, we need something that's going to, like, you know, pick us up. We need just, like, you know, something that's going to get us going. With a lot of people, Fernet can be a little bit too abrasive.
Yeah.
And
who are those
on people? Yeah, right? On the flip side of that, Branca Menta, which was actually invented in 1960, or came out in 1960, it was basically a nod to Maria Callas, which is she was an opera singer. When she would go on stage, before she'd go on stage, she would have Fernet Branca with a little bit of sugar and mint oil. And Fratelli Branca was like, that sounds amazing. Why don't we bottle that? So basically it's, you know.
I heard an alternative story where it was kids who couldn't take Fernet Branca and then puts mint syrup into it to soften it.
That's probably where Maria Callas got it from, allegedly. You know,
from the kids,
loosen the pipes, you know. So so we started mixing them 50-50 because like if the Branca Menta was too sweet for some people and Fernet was too bitter and aggressive, you mix them together and it's like the perfect blend. It's a 50-50. It's easy. Mm-hmm. Two bottle pickup, slam it in a glass. And that's the, I'm not.
Allison, she's slowly pushing this.
I don't want the Smirnoff ice. I brought that for y'all.
the icer can't
pass
get
it back this
sure.
way.
Yeah, get that. Get it away from me.
I'm not above this.
Now, how does that
make it? Might actually be good in this hard start.
Well, I was going to say, or with the brunch.
No.
But,
yeah, can I put gin in here?
The thing was, it happened at brunch, and I can't give credit to naming the drink to myself. It goes to our GM at the time, Bill Mann, who lives in Austin, Texas now. He was like, man, that's like when your battery's dead and like you run your car, or your motorcycle down the hill, you put it in second, you pop the clutch. He's like, what do you call that? It's like a hard start. It's like, well, that's the name of the streak now, the hard start. And they, if you go to the Fernet Branca distillery in Milan, Eduardo Branca will make this for you in the tasting room.
That's fucking awesome.
Oh, wow.
Now, Damon has a tattoo.
I do have. I have an eagle tattoo on my chest, and it's in the classic, like, traditional, like, old sailor, like, style, but it happens to be inspired by the Fernet Branca eagle that's on the bottle.
Wow.
With, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's happening.
We're doing this. There it is. Oh, yeah. There it is.
Got that.
How much of Damon's body have you seen, Jack?
More than all. Anyway, yeah. So the hard start. It's become a kind of like one of those like viral shots. Like I said, like the Ferrari, which is Fernet and Campari, things like that. And I've seen it pop up. It's been in a bunch of cocktail books now, which I'm very thankful for. Like people like Brad Thomas Parsons, who wrote the Bitters book and the Amaro book. You know, I don't know. It's kind of cool. Just that, like, not all my cocktails are in a bunch of books, but this shot happens to be. So if that's my claim to fame, you know, then
that's fine.
I'm totally more than happy.
It's whatever catches on. So I mean, I make cocktails too, but every now and then I'll make a shot, and somehow those are the ones that have stuck for me. Yeah. Your alternate shift drink that you also mentioned was Jack. What was it? It was a martini.
Oh, grapefruit.
Martini. Okay, so let's talk about the martini for a second.
Yes.
So, I mean, traditionally, like, what do you do? Like 2-to-1?
If 2-to-1, yeah.
Yeah. So something I've really been digging, like, well, for a very long time, my roommate Robbie Nelson is the Plymouth Gin brand ambassador. So it's kind of funny because we're like the house of gin, you know. And it's kind of fun because like when you're popping around New York City, typically you see like Brooklyn Gin and Plymouth Gin next to each other. They live next to each other on the back bar, mm-hmm. and we live next to each other in our apartment. But and the bottles look great together.
Wait, which bottle gets an inch closer to the?
Yeah, well, we always fuck with each other given that relationship. But the thing is, like, what, like, you know, when you're going out and you're visiting different bars and accounts, you know, this isn't just like the movement of drinking low ABV cocktails, like, you know, like a Bamboo. You're doing like sherry and vermouth, or like even like having like an Americano, or it's Campari, sweet vermouth, and seltzer. I love the idea that people are starting to drink lower ABV cocktails. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're going out to, as a brand ambassador, if you're going out to visit, even just as a bartender who wants to go check out a bunch of spots, how many spots can you check out if you're like drinking dry martinis? Mm-hmm. Not that many. So the 50-50 martini is what I'm talking about. So like a 50-50 martini is not half gin, half vodka. It's and, you know, yes. But it, like, sometimes people get confused when you order a 50-50 martini if you're in the wrong place. But 50-50 martini is half gin. It's like an ounce and a half of gin and an ounce and a half of dry vermouth. And it, more than it being just a lower ABV cocktail, we are very lucky these days to have access to so many good vermouths.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah.
And that's something that, you know,
people are finally kind of starting to get to the point that it's wine, and so you want to refrigerate it, and exactly. You want to treat it properly, yes. As well as all the other ingredients. Derek Brown here in the Columbia Room, if you ask for a martini, even with a gin, he'll put it in a freezer so it's as cold as possible. So he's taken all the components and really, really nailed it down.
Well, also, the thing is with you know, like, we need to talk about this real quick, too. Like, calling it a dry martini, like, historically, it does not mean that there's no vermouth in it or less vermouth. It means that you use dry
vermouth
mm-hmm. instead of blanc vermouth. Mm. So that's, like, if you go back and you do your research in a bunch of dusty old cocktail books, that's what it is. Like, here's a martini. And then you're like, below it, you'll see a recipe for a dry martini. And all they did was swap out for dry vermouth, you know. But yeah, I like it. I like a 50-50. And also, no, fuck that. I like if you were going to make me a martini right now, and I wouldn't ask you to do this because it would make me kind of an asshole and might be a little too fussy.
We do not have a bar set up in the studio quite yet, but the old,
working on it.
You were just saying that the old Heritage Radio station.
Yeah, Souther, my co-host at the Speakeasy, Souther Teague, who owns Amore Amargo and Blue Quarter, and he just opened Windmill.
Windmill.
He and I started building a bar in the Heritage Radio studio, and we started having our guests bring in and leave bottles, and we kind of like broadcast that out to the world. We're like, you know what, if anyone out there wants to send us any bottles, this is, you know, it's a 501c3 nonprofit organization, so we don't get paid to do what we do, you know what I mean? So like when we asked our guests and listeners to, like, hey man, maybe throw us a bottle or some bar tools, it was crazy, man. But people started bringing in, like, we have...
Dear listeners of Shift Drink.
but it's also, like, that idea of, like, the community, you know? And especially since it's a charitable nonprofit organization, we received so many great gifts. Like, really, like, someone made us a knife, and someone made, like, a cutting board. Jeez. And, like, and we had... tons of people send us just, you know, like, you can't really, like, some states you can't, like, ship booze, but it was cool because, like, listeners would just throw us care packages. And sometimes it would be, like, something as simple as, like a stack of linens, you know, like something like that. And it was really cool because, like, now whenever you come into the studio, and by the way, we also started like inviting people into the studio to just hang out while we're recording.
Man.
It's like the Beach Boys party album.
You guys waited right? for me to leave and then just like brought
no,
all the
man, you know, we just missed you so much that we were like, we're trying to replace you with fun things.
People across the country that say they recognize me from the speakeasy, they're like, yeah, you're always like, you know, behind the glass wall in the booth, either like, you know, pitifully asking for a taste of whatever they're having.
No, or, no, no.
You know.
That's actually, that, well, kind of true. But, but no, you you definitely you picked and choose the good booze.
Put it that way. That's true. That's true. There's like a really like rare rum, and that's like a part of a speck of some classic drink. And then you
and I would see you like you'd like kind of like peek over the window. And you're like, what's going on in there, guys?
Now, Jax, you mentioned that Jax's cocktail and spirits knowledge has actually grown over time.
Yeah, it was really cool because together. Like when he started, I mean. We got to give Jack all the credit in the world because he started Heritage Radio Network with Patrick Martin. He built that fucking radio station, that network.
Applause sound.
And and you know, he really like honed his craft and cut his teeth and like to the point where he can move to DC and start up this station too, right? So it was also like he had told me before he started that station. You know, listening to so many different chefs and sommeliers and brewers, and even like some of the shows are about like finance and architecture and stuff like that. So like the stuff that he's listened to every show, right? Yeah. And before that, he was saying to me years ago, he was like, "I didn't know anything about food and beverage."
It's like
this, it changed his life, right? So like nowadays, you know, we've definitely like. Gone out drinking together, and he's like, I order like a beer and a shot, and he orders some like obscure like cocktail from who knows when, you know. And he's like, yeah, and then maybe I'll have a shot of chartreuse on the side.
Right,
I'm like,
right,
what the
right,
fuck
right.
are you doing, man?
With my pinky up. No, man, but like Damon, listening to Damon over all those years, like you learn about things.
I'm sorry about that, by the way.
Nope, please. I mean, you learn that Fernet's the secret handshake, and you learn that when you're in a city.
So when you were traveling.
Yeah.
And you'd pop into bars and you'd order a shot of Fernet.
Oh, it works every time.
Then all of a sudden they'd be like,
they say they give you they make a face at? That's like a really satisfied like absolutely, buddy. You know, and they pour you the shot and then you do the shot. They usually take one with you, and then it's
pretty much 100%.
Pretty much every time. And then after you do the shot, they say, "So what do? You know, that's like the next question because it's like obviously you're not just a fucking tourist or somebody. You know.
So that's still a very. Real thing that happens, right?
Very right. Much so. But is it still the Fernet or?
I was going to ask you. I'm sorry. I you know, I'm usually the host. I'm usually interviewing people, so it's hard for me to. I always say even like you know, whenever I'm sitting at a bar or restaurant, like I'll get up and start bussing tables because like I can never clock out. You never clock out.
Hands.
Okay. Hands right, or behind. Hands,
behind corner
door.
And so immediately, you know, holding doors open for people.
But I think what you're about to ask is like, is it still the thing, the Fernet, or is it something else? Like if you order like a shot of Malort, or something like that, then like,
well, if your bar has Malort, that's a big feat in itself.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
We don't.
Jack Rose doesn't. Okay, don't
Sun
order.
Cinema has Malort. I know that.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they do.
Room 11, my bar.
What would be the riff like if it was a cocktail? Like in the way you order a cocktail.
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, at a certain point, it became the snack.
I'll stop
the snackery.
Snackery.
The snackery. Snackery. Which is the mini daiquiris. Yeah.
But
that,
also, sincerely, a 50-50 martini is one of them now.
Oh, that's
if
true.
Somebody orders that, like Lindsay Johnson came into my bar and ordered a 50-50 Brooklyn Gin martini, and I was like, a what now? And then I was like, oh, equal parts. Got it. But
yeah.
I feel that's like an industry thing.
I've ordered like a Boulevardier off menu, and people usually just give you like a, huh.
Why don't you get a Negroni?
Right, exactly.
Well, I mean, like, the last word for a long time was one of those cocktails. I think now it's a little bit more like...
The aviation.
Aviation was, absolutely, like, you know, about 10 years ago when House Alpens put out the
Creme de Violette.
But the... And that was... I think that was kind of like a step towards, in a way, like, just with the involvement of maraschino liqueur... I think that was a step into Last Words. The last word has 3/4 of an ounce of maraschino liqueur.
Yeah.
That's a fucking shitload of maraschino liqueur. Back before I got more heavily involved into the cocktail world in New York City, I worked at a place called Linnell's. And it was a highly revered spirit shop in Red Hook. And if you ever had Red Hook rye, I mean, you can find it at Jack Rose.
$600 an ounce at Jack Rose.
$600 an ounce.
And is that actually the most?
It is actually $600 an ounce.
Yeah. Wait, why is it $600?
Because it's one of the most renowned bottles of rye. We have two different bottles, but one of the most renowned ryes. Cult classic.
Yeah. We had 4 barrels of it that were all, like, I think the lowest amount of bottles we got out of one of them was 192 bottles, and the heaviest one was 220. And it's cask strength. It's just straight from the barrel. It's not like diluted, you know, it's not spread out. It's like cask strength, non-chill filtered, 24-year-old rye whiskey. And yeah, it was like, it's hard to get. But like most things at Linnell's, it was like hard to get. And Linnell just reopened her shop in Birmingham, Alabama, which I'm really excited to go visit.
Shit, I wish I knew. It's just there.
Oh, really? Oh,
man.
Ah, well, you should have told me. You need to send me your calendar, bro.
Listeners, email Damon Boldy when you're traveling, and he will tell
No, me. Actually, like, hit me up. I have pointers.
We're going to segue right here because I also can't stop, and we're like timekeeping over here. So yeah. We should probably play a game.
Okay, so we want to get to know a little bit more about you, Damon.
Okay.
So we play a game. You prepped a little bit ahead of time.
Are you going to ice me now?
I wish.
You know what? I feel
last
bad.
Time, last
Give
time
me that fucking ball. All right.
There you go.
Finally.
I'll take a fucking
ball. Okay, last time in an episode, the ice did not work. Yes.
Yes. That's
It's not as bad as I wanted it to be.
I know. It's just like orange juice.
Okay, so that's a truth now. That's one of your truths, that you actually like Smirnoff Ice.
Oh, yeah. So the game is called
Two Truths, One Lie.
Two Truths, One Lie.
So Jack and I will team up on this.
Wow, I'm playing this for the first time. So the context here, Damon, is basically every week, but maybe one.
We've won once.
They never win,
and we're on episode 20 something. So they never win. We are terrible.
They always lose.
Good luck.
Yes,
you're only on episode 20 something.
Oh, Damon, how many episodes are you approaching now?
I'm about to hit 300.
Goodness gracious! Congratulations.
We're babies over here.
I've got paid for none of them. Except, but that's why I do it.
Except for the booze that gets sent in.
I'll say, like, true. I am nervous because I am sitting in between two radio giants.
Oh, please.
So.
Well, ready? Yeah, ready for this?
Tell me.
So you're going to tell us 3 things about yourself. 2 of them will be true, and 1 of them will be false, and we have to guess.
We will get it wrong, but we will try to guess.
Get it wrong, yeah. What do you got for us?
Okay, this was actually really fun when you told me about this before coming on the show, because I always hate it because like when someone asks you for your bio and you have to write about yourself, it really fucking sucks. It's a lot of pressure, and you kind of hate talking about yourself. But this was really fun because I realized how ridiculous my life is, and this might be hard for you guys. I've done a lot of weird shit in my life.
We've had some really weird things coming around our way.
Okay, well, I made it kind of easy, I think. I don't know. We'll see. One of these you probably already know, Jack, so that gives you an advantage. Anyway, I once went an entire year eating steak for every meal. That's one. Number 2, I'm ordained in 11 states. And 3... I once got arrested for 4 different offenses and got off on a technicality.
Wow. So, yeah. Jackie, do you identify the one that...
I'm not saying a word until you make a guess.
I know one of them.
You're not playing this game.
Have you?
I know.
You're disqualified.
The steak one, I might think would be a lie, depending on where, if you've traveled. You live anywhere else?
I'm from Oklahoma, dude.
Lone wolf.
But I will say, if it happened, it happened while I was in New York, living in New York.
Not a bad town to be eating steak.
Am I allowed to give you clues? If you
want to, please do.
They could
do.
Be bullshit,
please
too.
Do.
So, I mean, like...
All the clues are lies. Don't trust him.
Not to be trusted.
I go for gut reactions. I'm going to say the steak, but Jack, do you?
My guess is being let off on all four of those charges.
You think he was let off on three of them, and this guy hit with the misdemeanor?
The yeah, totally.
I'm going to go with Jack. Okay, Jack.
You're switching your answer?
Okay. Yes. I'm going to go with Jack.
All right, we'll stay united. That's our guess.
The steak one?
No. I say that the four...
The last one.
The last one being charged on four things and being acquitted of all four was the lie.
You're wrong.
Fuck.
I'm ordained in 10 states.
Son of a bitch. That was cruel. That was fucking cruel.
Hey, man, you know what? The reason why I brought that up is because you said you officiated our buddy Benny's wedding.
Yes, I did.
And so I
Denise and Betty's wedding, I officiated. I am ordained, I guess, in two states.
You are ordained in two states.
Yeah.
I'm ordained in one state.
Oh, wow.
Can you name all 10 of your states?
Not right now. No. I just
took, man, that was cruel. I
just took
you
a bunch
ordained.
Of Smirnoff Ice to the house, so... ordainment thing was like I had some friends, two different friends who like were gonna have weddings and then did not happen. So I got ordained in the States because just for the off chance that I might be able to
Universal Life Church.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So, and then I made it a point, like some fucking stupid, like probably drunken or very high decision, where I was like, I'm gonna see how many states I can get ordained in, and I was like hoping to like, I think you can like. You can be ordained online in like I think like 38 states.
A lot until recently, after new administration put a clamp down on a lot of that. But
oh boy!
And then when I was, I think 16 or 17, I went to another neighboring towns. I'm from a very small town in Oklahoma called Lone Wolf.
How many people were in that town? How many people did you graduate with?
21. And there were 300
high school
people in my town.
21.
And now there's about 86.
Yeah.
The town's literally being 86'd. And it's called Lone Wolf. And it's going to be a ghost town. I still own my farm.
I was laughing at your 86.
So it's now it's a game of who's going to be the last one standing.
Yeah. And I still own my farm there. And I probably will for... I'll be the last one standing.
Yeah.
But the... the thing is, I was hanging out with some rowdy kids, and I was driving my 66. I always like have to tell my story starting out by. I have a bunch of classic cars and motorcycles, and like I always have to tell the story of starting out with what I was driving at the time. It was a 66 Mustang, and I had a trunk full of beer, and these two kids that I was going to graphic design school with had just like tons of drugs on them, and I went to their town for their homecoming and didn't get pulled over, got busted in the parking lot after I already stopped, but somehow they gave me a DUI, a public intoxication, minor possession, and like one other thing, and they all got dropped because my dad at the time was the county commissioner.
Oh, jeez.
That helps.
But eating steak every day for a year. It was 2010. It was the strongest year of my life. I made a point of eating steak every day. And I got to tell you, like people are like, you're going to get gout or something like that.
Right.
I'm like, no, I'm going to fucking crush your skull with my toes.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Once a day. Every meal or once a day?
It was once a day.
Once a day. Okay.
Yeah, at least once a day.
We're not talking about supersize me.
So to clarify this, there were four times, there were 4 days that I didn't eat steak. And what would happen, my own weird rule that I put on myself, is like if I didn't eat steak, if I just forgot that day that I was supposed to eat steak and I had like chicken or something like that, I was like, all right.
You accidentally had chicken.
You know how it is, man. You're a bartender. I accidentally had chicken. But the thing is, like, as a bartender, you don't really get a whole lot of... You don't have breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
No, you get whatever is given to you.
I always go sometimes. And have, like, a big-ass fucking lunch before I go and work. And then maybe there's some picking at family meal, you know? But, like, I'm at work. And like this year, you know, 2010, I was like working like every fucking day. And I went like, when we opened Prime Meats back in the day, I went like 37 straight days without a break. And, but yeah, anyway, so like the thing was, if I forgot to eat steak, then I made myself, the next day, I had to have 3 full meals. I had breakfast and lunch and dinner, and they were all steak.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's pretty much my life. I eat steak and bacon every day.
I mean, nothing wrong with that.
No.
King's diet.
Fine so far.
But you know what? The thing was, as I was working at a fucking steakhouse.
Yeah.
You know? So
I was going to say, like, the steak you're eating is like...
There's one thing I will say about this. The burger at Prime's was... It's cut from...
Steak. Yeah, we're counting that.
Okay.
So we... Yeah. Okay. I definitely counted it. But you know, you got to get creative. Tartar, steak burrito, like carne asada, you know, stuff like that. So like, I wouldn't say... It's not to say that I was eating a steak. I just said steak. So anyway, it sounds...
How many, you know, every single way of preparing steak.
Oh yeah, man.
It was not a mistake. That was channeling my inner Patrick Martins. I had to like bring that in.
That's your inner Matthew Ramsey.
I'll accept it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like on New Year's Eve, at the end of the year, I worked that night, and when I got off, I had a steak and a steak tartare. But like I was like, I talked to the chef. I'm like, can you just fry an egg for me? And like, when it's about ready, just kind of like tilt the skillet over to where it like runs long way, like lengthwise. And he's like, why? I'm like, because I want you to put that on top of the strip steak, and then I'm gonna put the tartare with the quail egg yolk on top of it. Jesus. So it was steak and eggs 2 times.
That's amazing.
And then I slept for a week.
Good Lord.
Anyway.
That's probably a good time to take a break.
Yes. Everyone think about that. Get that image in your head.
Yeah.
And then we'll take a break.
We'll be right back on Shift Drink here on Full Service Radio at the Line Hotel.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul.
So you're listening to to Full Service Radio. It's gonna get you some in the air.
Well, let's begin with that sign and those things that took you in. It's a God-fearing man, a redeemed one at that. The warning comes from deep within. You're about to lose your soul to that rock.
Welcome to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte, here on the Heritage Radio Network. Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn.
Sunny Bushwick.
Today, our guest is Damon Bolte. Just kidding. Welcome back to Shift Drink. I'm pretend Matt Ramsey.
And I'm the real Eddie Kim. And we are joined by Damon Bolte and Allison Hillard. Damon, that was your intro music for your show.
That song is actually... A lot of people don't... Probably don't know this, but that song's called Whiskey and Loose Women. And that's the reason why it's the theme song for the Speakeasy. It used to be... That Cat is High. When I first started...
Man.
That Cat is High by the Ink Spots.
Fuck.
Remember that? Like in the very beginning, yeah.
I remember it very well. Wow. That just took. I'm sorry. That just took me.
I know. It kind of fucked me up too.
That cat is high.
Now, I want to ask. Yeah. After all the years I've been listening to you, and a lot of bartenders have kind of taken a cue and used you as a kind of a jumping point to get into the industry. At least for me, it was. Where do you see yourself as like your role in the cocktail community? Are you a journalist? Or are you just like, you know, rubbing elbows with your compatriots, your colleagues?
I'm a bartender. I mean, the like, you know, when I got asked to start the radio show, I was a guest on Patrick Martin's show, The Main Course on Heritage Radio Network, and he kept trying to get me to come on the show, on his show, and I kind of brushed it off a lot because I was like, it's kind of weird. I don't want to necessarily jump in there and start to, like, I didn't choose to do the radio show. He kind of like chose me, you know, and he kept asking me to come on all the time. And then finally one day he was like, he tricked me very easily. I'm very gullible and trickable apparently, but he was like, what are you doing on Sunday? I'm like, nothing, man. You want to hang out? He's like, yeah, let's hang out. I'm like, what do you want to do? He's like, you're going to be on my radio show. I'm like, fuck, you tricked me. And it happened to be on December 5th, Repeal Day.
Repeal Day.
Of 2009. I didn't know what we were going to talk about, but then it happened to be Repeal Day, which obviously it's very big here in Washington, D.C.
Repeal Day ball.
We have our own ball.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we had a great show, talked about Prohibition and made some cocktails on the show. And then a few days later, he hits me up and he's like, there's really great reviews for that show. And we don't have a show about booze. We have one about wine. We got one about beer. And he was like, do you want to have your own show about cocktails and spirits and history? And I was like, how much does it pay? And he said, nothing. I said, perfect, I'll do it.
Sign me up.
Yeah, and really, that's the thing. It's like, I'm a bartender.
We do this even as a labor before, of love, yeah.
Yeah, like, I like to serve my guests. Even before I was even in the service industry, like, forever, when I had my house in Oklahoma City, I would have guests over, and I would cook for them and make cocktails for them. And I always say that the two finest things that a human being can do for another human being is cook for them and listen to them. And that means we're serving and we're learning, you know? And learning, serving, I mean, that's just like something that we can pass on.
Those are literally the two things that you do as a bartender.
Yeah.
Your entire shift is listen and make something.
Yeah.
And cook, essentially.
And it's so important, you know? And that, I don't know. Like, to me, I don't know how I view myself in the industry. I tend to not think about it. When people come up to me and they're like, dude, I went to your bar. Or like, hey, I listened to your radio show. Like, yes, it's massively flattering. But more than flattering, it just makes me really excited that people give a shit about what we're doing. And not about what we're doing necessarily is like making drinks or cooking for them. Because what we're doing is we're building experiences. We're not making drinks and food. That's part of the experience. But the overall is the conversation. The things that you do for other people. That's the most important part, you know? It's not about like who's like, you know, who's in the top 50 best bars or like who has the Michelin star or who won the Emmy or the Grammy or whatever. It's like, I mean, like this experience right now, like what we're doing. I iced the fuck out of you guys. And
you sure did.
Thank you.
You're about to get iced too. You ready for this?
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Let's see if this works. Jack is on the tables right now.
Hard start.
Yeah, are you on exactly. on the ones and the twos? And also the twos?
I think so.
But yeah, I mean, like it's all about the experience.
And you're providing an experience in this containership, in this container doing a radio show.
What are you doing, Jack?
It's distracting.
That's also, you know, dealing with different vintages of whiskeys, too, but...
This is Damon Bolte in 2009.
You know, there's a lot of trust, you know. You got to really trust that they know what they're talking
just
about.
Just like a chef. I mean, I think that's the lesson I take away from this, is that the bar is now equal
this
to
the
kitchen in terms
original
of creativity and a kind of
Holy
certain
crap.
Amount of independence and culture and background.
I think that's
and
true,
and
I think that it's a great way for a restaurant to encourage people to visit, is to offer a really sensational...
Cocktails
know,
and it helps
menu.
The profit.
Yeah.
And let me ask you, are there certain drinks, like if someone's feeling down, like what's an up drink, or do you have just a couple of like I mean in a weird
wait,
way.
Wait. Are there drinks
cheesy.
That actually provide oh my god, he's got a gold shaker. This is too cool.
Goes well with meatballs. I mean, you know, people are down. Let's do a little synergy here.
Oh yes, I'm sorry.
Something that goes well with meatballs, we don't know anything about that working at Primeats or Frankie's Spuntino. It just never happens. No meatballs left.
Look at that sarcasm right from the beginning.
A trophy behind the kitchen with a giant meatball.
Because you know Daniel, of course, is with the meatball.
All right, so you are approaching your 300th episode.
You sound surprisingly similar almost a decade later.
I've had more whiskey and cigarettes since then. But yeah, probably.
Yeah.
That voice has aged a little bit.
Thank God. Maybe.
But I wanted to say something about what you were saying, Damon. It's like, yes, it's just conversations. And I think that was your answer to the question of, do you consider what you do journalism or what are you? And you said a bartender and then you said all this. I think those conversations end up being the best journalism.
You're finding some kind of truth into what people are saying.
It's what journalists are after. And you're able to kind of like cut that line, I think.
The reason why I started doing the speakeasy, the reason why the speakeasy kind of like took off and started moving the way it did, it grew kind of organically, right? So what I wanted to do, the way I wanted to set up that situation in the conversation was like, as bartenders, we know that when we start talking shop, like after a shift where we're all sitting there at the bar and having your shift drink. The shift drink is all about decompression, right? It's like you've worked your ass off and you're just like, oh my God, I sometimes you can't even sit down still. Like you're
still
it's
amped.
Hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard for you to like
come down,
calm it down. You know, so to have the shift drink is like it's extremely important because like yeah, you have to think about like your work life and your life, like your like walking, waking moments of life. You know, like when you're running errands and like doing laundry and shit like that. It's hard, like, as a bar owner and a bar manager and a bartender, it's like, I can't do all three at the same time. It's hard to, like, I have to clock out from one and clock into the other one because I get so focused on bartending that, like, all I can think about is, like, that. And, like, I can't think about, like inventory and ordering and like doing spreadsheets and like renegotiating my insurance policy for my staff and like stuff like that. You know, like there's too many fucking things going on. There's three separate jobs involved there, right? So you have to have that decompression moment, and when you do, you end up you're sitting at the bar, the stools are up and the chairs are up on the tables and like you're sitting there, you've gone through a fucking battle with your coworkers, right? And you end up sitting there, maybe you're smoking a cigarette or maybe you're smoking a joint, I don't know, and you're having that shift drink and you're hanging out and you're talking about your, it's almost like therapy, and you're like almost in a therapy session, like where you're like coming down and you're like you're just having that conversation to like make you're all trying to make each other feel better after you've already been trying all night to like make your guests feel better.
I mean, that's what our job is as a bartender. A lot of times we have 9-to-5ers come in and you're their therapist. I mean, that's the most common descriptor we get as a bartender. Is like, oh, you're like a pseudo therapist without a degree.
And that's what I wanted to do with the radio show.
Yeah,
you know, I wanted to extend that conversation. And also, I mean, like, you know, sometimes, you know, if it's an author or a distiller, it doesn't necessarily work in the industry. It's like, that's when you get like some more of the educational stuff out of the show. But like talking with bartenders, it's like we talk about issues, you know? There's a lot of fucking issues out there. God. There's like racial, sexual, like all kinds of crazy shit going on in the world right now. And so like I just wanted, you know, a lot of our listeners are industry, obviously, but like there are a ton of them who are like enthusiasts and they...
It's free grad school, is what I used to say about Heritage Radio. Is it's free grad school. You could fuck culinary school, fuck all that. Like, spend a few months listening to the Heritage Radio archive. That's not a plug for Heritage Radio as much as it is a testament to like your work and those conversations. That will teach you more than so many other paths into the industry. And if you drill all the, like Adam Kolsar, for example, you listen to one of those interviews and like you'll learn a lot about tiki.
In an hour. Amazing person I've ever met.
You know? And you'll learn why Urjat's so important and all this shit. And that takes years for a lot of other people to find.
Yeah.
And I think your work and hopefully the work of like what we're doing here, it ends up being a shortcut to some real knowledge. And
you know. Yeah, but I will say this. Like, you know, it was very nice of you to say that, like that you've been listening to the show before. But like, honestly, like, I'm not the star of the show. I just happen to have really fucking great guests. And we have great conversations. I ask questions. They're the ones that are the real, like, stars of the show, you know? And it's like, I just happen to, like...
But you're asking questions that Good Morning America is not going to fucking ask, you know? They're like, it's almost 4th of July, and
well, that's
what?
The point.
Like,
you're creating the atmosphere.
Right.
No, we did that already by building bars. And that's the platform. I always said that, like, with the radio show, just think of it this way. Like, every time I have guests on, which is every week, at Wednesdays at 2 o'clock.
By the way, if you asked me in 2009 if Damon Bolte would make it to 300 episodes, I'd put a good, healthy amount of money on. No fucking way.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
I didn't even think I was going to make it to 100. But the thing is, I always say, you know, it's like, this is shop talk. It's the same shop talk that we have when it's late night, when the bar's already closed, and we're sitting there having a shift drink. We just happen to have microphones in front of us. And it happens to go out to about 2.5 million listeners. I tell them after the show. So
and sometimes you get screwdriver smeared off iced.
Yeah. Anyway, I think like just in the same way that like Full Service and Shift Drink, it's Heritage Radio, the Speakeasy, all of the bars that we work at, it really comes down to like hospitality and the idea of like selflessness, you know, like there's no real, like there's no like personal, real personal gain in hosting a show.
Right.
It's all about, it has to be instilled in you to like actually to be like, to serve people, other people, and to like educate and hopefully entertain, you know. But it's not something that is just like a natural process. It's something that you have to want to do, and I fucking love it, man. And I will say, like, again, like, you know, I don't get paid to do this, but you know what, I feel rich as fuck by all the people I've met and the experiences I've had and the stuff that I've learned. And, you know, hopefully one day, you know, when I'm dead and gone, the radio show will keep going and we'll just keep it alive, you know?
Amen.
Keep spreading the gospel.
Who's going to take over for you? In addition to Souther.
Well, Souther Teague is going to live forever.
Because all he does is drink bitters.
I mean,
that's right. Exactly. He's preserved in bitters.
Yeah, he's preserved.
The elixir of life is bitters.
Yeah. I don't know, man. We'll we'll figure that out when we get there. But like, you know, it's great to have, like, you know, 20 years ago we didn't have this wealth of information. I know you were at, Jack, you were at Don Lee's wedding this weekend.
Yeah, I was. And you got Dave Wondrich there giving a toast and a speech. And
I always tell this story with when it comes to Don Lee. Don Lee from PDT.
Former guest of Shift Drink as well.
You know, he's got a new bar called Existing Conditions in the West Village.
Please go up there. Crazy, crazy, crazy bar.
He was working, I remember, like, many years ago, he was working at Cocktail Kingdom. And so I went in there. This is like back when they had their old office, which was really just like an office. And kind of like a tiny corner with a bunch of bar tools in it and books. And it's maybe like 9 years ago, something like that. Anyway, 8 or 9 years ago. Anyway, so I'm talking with Don about, like, I just got on this like kick where it was me and Jim Kearns, who owns Happiest Hour and Slowly Surely in the West Village also. We got on this whole like kick about like making puss cafes. And we're like layering. We're like really into layering puss cafes. And like really tiny. You know those like 1¼ ounce like cordial glasses? That like the kind of like standard like Libby ones. So we wanted to see who could like layer the most layers. And and like, you know, you're pouring like different like spirits over in like syrups over like the back of a bar spoon.
For those who don't know, Puss Cafe is an old school, what's it, like a digestive shots that you layer
so stupid. Nice
spirits and liqueurs and syrups of different densities, and so they create, it's the original layered shot.
Yeah, it is. So I actually won the competition between Jim and I, by the way.
Wow.
Because I didn't do 3 layers of spirits. I did 3 layered cocktails.
Oh, Jesus.
I did a martini, a Manhattan, and a Negroni. And I figured out the densities of those because of Don Lee. When we were talking in Cocktail Kingdom about this, I was like, yeah, man, I just got to, like, just trying to figure out, like, you know, it's kind of trial and error, like, figure out which one stack. And he's like, oh, do you need, like, list of like, you need some data. He's like, do you need like a list of like the graduated like densities of all these different spirits?
He's like, it's in my back
pocket.
Of
course, Don Lee, like, you know, has that. And I was like, what? He's like, I'll be right back. He went to the office, printed it out for me, hands it to me, and it's graduated densities of like all the different spirits. I'm like, how the hell do you?
Dude, you're like this? You're like an athlete doing steroids. That's not fair.
Yeah. And I was like, can I give you, like, money for this? Can I, like, give you, like, $100 or something? And he said, no, man. Information should be free.
Oh, damn.
That's Don Lee, folks.
Yeah. And
That's Damon Bolte also. That's...
I've stuck with that.
That's it right there, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. For real.
And that's why we do what we do, man. Information should be free. You know, you can take any kind of, like, master class. A lot of the, you know, for the industry, like, a lot of those classes are free. You just have to, like, kind of sign up for them. But mostly, you know, you can also listen to Shift Drink.
No, that's the thesis behind Heritage. It's the thesis behind what we do here. So
just be open to learn. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to actually get as much information from you as quickly as possible in a segment that we call Rapid Fire.
Rapid fire.
did you want to go one-on-one on this with me, Jack?
Oh, yeah. What do you got?
Oh, sure. I have some random questions.
Yeah, great.
So we are going to throw some questions at you very quickly.
Cool.
We can go off on tangents if you want, but answer it off the top of your head, and we'll just get as much information. All right. This one's from Matthew, actually. Our missing co-host. If money were not an issue, what is the most exquisite thing you would like to drink?
Iced tea.
Amazing.
No, I mean, like, I recently found out that I'm like allergic to caffeine, and I fucking love iced
tea.
Get
out of here,
from
the South.
Yeah. So I like.
Is it sweet tea or just regular?
Just regular ass like Lipton black iced tea. Like it's my Desert Island drink. And also, in fact, I kind of sometimes wish that bourbon didn't have alcohol in it so I could drink more of it.
All right, Don, if you're going to make an alcohol-free bourbon, go for it.
Yeah, for real. The next one, I'm going to actually add to this. The question is deathbed meal, but I don't only want to know what your deathbed meal is. I want to know where that deathbed is and what state and what city and what circumstance. I want you to paint the full picture.
Okay. I love corn dogs, no matter where it is. It's the perfect food. It involves corn, which is the most noble grain.
The American grains.
Cased meat. It's deep fried. It's on a stick, and you can dip it into mustard or any other condiment, really. And I would like to have that, strangely enough, in like Venice, Italy.
Wow.
I don't know. It's my favorite city.
No shit. Huh. So you're in Venice with a corn dog, and a full condiment
I would
spread.
Be so fucking happy.
Do they have corn dogs in Venice?
They don't, but he said
it doesn't matter. Yeah. We're making this happen. What are you drinking?
Well, I mean, it's the birthplace of the Negroni, so I'm having a Negroni made by Luca Picchi, who is the head barman at the Cafe Gili, which is right by the Palazzo Vecchio.
Yeah, great. So we're like highbrow on the drink. Maybe we have an Italian cigarette and a corn dog with a full condiment spread on like a gondola in Venice.
I said Florence. Did I say Venice?
You said Venice.
Oh, sorry. Florence.
I was
Florence.
Confused by that. Florence sorry. Is a much Florence. Better choice.
Yeah. Florence.
Oof. Venice would be really depressing.
Venice. Jeez, that like, fucking Smirnoff ice has gone in my head. I'm going to have some more. It's your
turn. Venice would be pretty depressing.
Also, Venice is the birthplace of the Bellini, so you were wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
No, well, Florence is the birthplace of the
Bellini. Yeah, yeah, Florence. Oh, we're doing much better now. So you're sitting in like the square.
I think we got a show.
Square in Florence with the corn dog. Yeah, okay, we're in.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry for that. I'm sorry, Luca Picchi.
Your spirit animal. What is your spirit animal?
I have two.
Are they fighting with each other?
One's a wolf and the other one's an owl. And because I've been on two spirit quests. Yeah, I took two. But I'm also a Gemini and an identical twin, so I do everything in twos. If you order a Manhattan for me, you get two cherries in it.
Wow.
Wow.
Guys,
that's actually mind blown. Every episode, my mind gets blown.
I'm modifying these.
That was the moment.
I'm modifying these on the list here. I want to. This is most overrated cocktail, but I want to qualify it. So we're talking cocktails that would be considered acceptable within the cocktail community first. That's your first qualifier.
Okay.
And I want three that you would not give a damn if you never had again and were eliminated from the earth. And again, these can't be like, you know, these have to be.
Yeah,
you got
I understand.
It. Yeah, three. Getting rid of them.
Honestly, like in their original format?
Yeah.
The Algonquin, the Brown Derby, and the... You know what? Honestly, I hate to say it, but the fucking aviation.
Fly on out of here. Yep.
We're done.
Yeah. I mean...
It's a good answer.
The aviation is probably the best out of the three, but the Algonquin's like fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, in Imbibe, Wondrich talks about like one of my favorite parts about that book is that pretty much every classic cocktail that he talks about, and I had this on my menu for a second at Grand Army, my bar in downtown Brooklyn. Every cocktail was like for $2 extra you could make it a Royale, like put a little champagne on top, even the French 75.
You can make a little more, you know?
Top me off.
But like in his book, he's like, even with like a Manhattan and old fashioned, everything, he's like, it's kind of funny. It's like a running theme in that book where he's like, and it's not bad with a little champagne on top, you know? But the Algonquin's kind of fucked up because, and I think that's also a testament to what we were talking about at the top of the show when we're talking about like vermouth. You know, I think that maybe you got to revisit it with Blanc vermouth rather than dry vermouth because it's pineapple juice and vermouth. It's kind of a weird drink. He also suggests like adding orange bitters to it. But the Brown Derby, I love that drink. I love the idea of that drink, rather. Mm-hmm. But I always like add a little bit of lemon juice to it.
Yeah, need some citrus.
Yeah.
You know, but the aviation, to me, is like... The aviation's kind of fucked up because, like... If you make it right, it's right. But what happens is I keep my creme de violette in a dasher bottle.
Yeah, how much do you use?
I do like 2 dashes of creme de violette. Yeah. And I do 3/4 lemon, 1/2 ounce of maraschino, 2 ounces of Brooklyn gin. And the problem is with the aviation is that people, for some reason, I get it. I mean, they got really excited when creme de violette was reintroduced 10 years ago or whatever. And they went fucking ham with it. And it's the same thing that happened with the Cosmopolitan, where all of a sudden it was all about the cranberry juice and not about...
Number of times I've said, you know, I give an aviation to someone and they mention something about the color of the drink, which is completely loses the point, irrelevant of it.
Because they want it to be bluish, blue. Purple. Because
That's where the story is. Aviation, you're in the clouds, blah, blah, blah.
It should be silver.
Right.
Yeah. Like sky vibes, you know? But yeah, I mean, like, I think it's like kind of a, it can be a really botched cocktail, or they go too heavy on the maraschino, which.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my answer.
I've gotten into arguments mostly just about Irish coffees and aviations with coworkers who are 10 years older than me. Like, hold back. Please don't shake 1/4 ounce of creme de violette into your cocktail. And please don't put too much sugar in your Irish coffee or Bailey's. I will fucking kill you. And I'm like the kid. I'm like, I was like 22. Like, don't you dare. And they were like, what are you even talking about? You can't even drink. I can't drink dairy. And they're like, why are you arguing about an Irish coffee? Because I care.
Irish coffee, I use the Dead Rabbit recipe for Irish coffee. That's
always.
Mine.
Yeah.
Okay, so Netflix just announced that they're going to come out with a new season. But they haven't done a bartender's... A new season of Chef's Table.
Okay.
And they've done Chef's Table Pastry Edition. Name 3 bartenders you would want featured on a Chef's Table bar edition, cocktail edition.
Oh, that's good.
I'm actually working on a show right now. I can't talk too much about it, but it's a thing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I have one answer that I want to see
you say. I'm so curious. And we're talking about the slow motion video, so it's not necessarily about the best drink, but makes for the best story.
Yeah, best story.
I'm curious to see what you said here. You know, I wouldn't want to pick from the classic canon of you know, mixologist. I would say, I mean, Jeffrey Morgenthaler is fucking hilarious. That's a good one. From Portland. Clyde Common in Portland. Abigail Golo from Compare Le Pain in New Orleans. Love her. And actually, I would love to throw in one of my favorite bartenders, his name is Albert, and he works at Keen's Steakhouse in New York City.
Whoa.
And he's like, he's just the dude who, he's so like, well composed. He works in like one of the oldest steakhouses in New York City, and he remembers everyone's name and everyone's drink. Also, kind of to a certain extent, he remembers their food orders. So you can kind of just like walk in. He says hello to you in a very proper way. And then your drink's in front of you. And also you've got your like surf and turf already in the system.
Wow.
And I think that to me is more like...
That's a whole range of different kind of bartender. Yeah. We're not...
But that's the thing. Is like as a bartender, you have to play every role in the house. Mm-hmm. You're the host. You're the manager. You're the chef. You're the cook.
You're the therapist.
You are the busser. No. You know, you're the food runner. You're the bouncer.
Plumber.
And then
the more
plumber?
Times I've been on my knees.
Yeah. Till
wait.
Name of your
different show.
Okay. Sorry. Sorry.
But then, you know, at the very end of the day, that's when you start like if you check off all those boxes, then that's when you start thinking about making drinks.
I was gonna say Giuseppe would be a good one.
Giuseppe, man, he
that would be a motherfucker.
Remember we put that
He cursed the most of he said, any guest in. It was like a
over
fuck
300
per
times.
3 second period.
It was a fuck marathon.
Incredible. It was absolutely incredible.
We put a parental advisory sticker.
It was the first one ever. Yeah,
first actually. And last. Yeah. Did you know that? So like it was the first and last. I don't think anyone's ever going to beat him. Just in the same way that no one's ever going to put more Fernet Branca in a cocktail than me.
Amen.
But also, the Do you know the song Rumble by Link Ray?
No.
Yeah, you do.
Probably. If
but
I
it's
it.
It's the I'm like veering off here, but
yeah, yeah.
You know, it's the only instrumental song of in history that's been banned from the radio for being too suggestive.
Wow. That's kind of like Giuseppe, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Stone Cold Sober these days, too. So yep. That would be a good chef story.
He's in Vegas now.
Should we move on to the next game?
Or I have one last question.
Yeah, go for it.
Since we didn't talk about news earlier today, I do want to give a hat tip to early this morning. Yeah. News came out that Joel Robuchon passed away this morning. Great, you know, like an icon in the cooking world. He holds the most number of Michelin stars amongst chefs. I'd want to ask you, when you give tribute to someone who's long and gone, passed away, bar world, culinary world, what is your tradition, if you have one?
I do. I absolutely do. Typically, what I do is at Grand Army, we'll turn the music off, and we'll just, like, kind of, like, clink a glass. I mean, like, it's nothing, like, out of the ordinary, but, like, we'll, like, shut it down, and the place is always bustling. Luckily, we have really great neighbors and patrons and everything. And we'll, like, shut it down. We're like, all right, everyone, listen. Let's give one up to Chef Bourdain, you know, like, we shut it down. It's like, everyone, stop what the fuck you're doing. I don't care if, like, you know, if you're, like, on a first Tinder date, or if you're in, like, your 10th anniversary
or if
date.
It's your birthday.
It's your birthday. It's not about you right now. Come on.
Your birthday.
Let's give it up, because, like, you wouldn't, like, when that kind of stuff happens, like, when, with those passings, especially in places that are, like, cocktail bars and like, nice restaurants, it's like, you wouldn't be here without these people.
Right.
So, like, the reason why you even
have
came here and you
hand,
give
yeah.
a shit is because of these people who progress us forward into food and beverage. So, let's just shut the fuck up for a second, raise your glass, and typically, like, I'll pour out a bunch of champagne. And, I mean, like, sometimes it ends up all over me. But, you know. But, yeah, I mean, like.
But that's what they espoused, the experience.
That's what they would have
throwing
wanted.
A party, essentially.
Yeah. We'll shut it down for a second, and then after that, we get back into partying.
No.
Well.
Well, it's been a stretch, huh?
But, yeah.
I think it's time for our next game.
Oh, yeah. We have one last game.
Cool.
The Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Marry, Kill.
Jack, you came prepared with a Fuck, Marry, Kill, I think.
Oh, so. You had one, too. So you should do yours first.
You want to do mine first? Yeah. Mine's pretty straightforward. I was listening to your last episode before the show. You mentioned you had a guest on from Indianapolis? Cleveland. Oh, no, you said a quote. I'm sorry, the quote, the three cities.
Oh, Tennessee Williams.
Yes, yes. That you should be, like, all, there are only three cities that actually exist, and everything else is Cleveland.
Right.
Right. So which city would you rather be drinking in? New York, New Orleans, or San Francisco? Fuck, Mary Kill.
Damn, that's fucked up. Well, New York's already fucked me. So then between New Orleans and San Francisco, Jesus,
you
is hard.
You want to fuck back New York?
Revenge fuck.
I would.
Yeah.
I would.
A little bit of hate fuck.
I'd maybe kill San Francisco, even though I'm moving there soon.
Yeah.
But, yeah, New York still fuck. And then Mary, I would definitely marry New Orleans.
Ooh.
It's the most unique city in the United States, and it's fucking lovely. And you know what?
It embraces you every
it'll
time.
It'll love you back,
there.
You know?
Yes, every time. It'll embrace you with that thick, thick
sorry,
humidity.
Hippies in San Francisco.
Mine is so much worse. Fuck, Mary, Kill. Music, whiskey, and loose women.
Oh, God. Wow. Wow. Jesus, why are you doing this to me? Music, whiskey, loose women. I would kill whiskey because I still have gin. It's Smirnoff Ice.
Oh, cheap shot.
Expertly handled.
And whiskey and loose women.
No, music. No. Music.
Wait, music and... I would probably marry... Wait, what do I have left? Marry and...
You're marrying or fucking at this point.
Loose women.
Well, loose women is fucking, and then... Marrying the music.
Marrying the music.
All right.
There you go.
There it is.
That sounds about right, I guess. I don't know.
You still have your gin, and you're having a good time.
Yeah.
You're good.
Sure.
There it is. Expertly handled.
Wow. A lot of gotcha moments.
You have the
tiger said,
we leave those for the very end.
Oh, Lord.
Anyways, Damon, thank you for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
Every listeners, thanks for joining us this week.
Oh, man. And if you want to see more of Damon's work, the Speakeasy live on heritageradionetwork.org every Wednesday at 2 p.m. now, mm-hmm. new time.
Yeah. And you can also visit Allison at Jack Rose.
Yes, you can.
You can buy Brooklyn Gin pretty much
at Jack Rose and other places soon.
There you go.
The first account.
Yeah. And keep an eye on it. Swing by Grand Army in downtown Brooklyn.
Best bar in Brooklyn, and that's not biased. It really is.
We won a Cocktail Bar of the Year for Imbibe Magazine last year.
It's the fucking best.
Pour that Plymouth Gin down the drain.
Sorry, Robbie.
No. Okay.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, man. Thanks to you for you too. It's been fun enough being on the show, but also it's really great to be in the studio again with Jack Inslee. You know, it's been a while, and I love you, brother.
Love you too, man.
Miss you.
I love that. Such love. All right. Thanks for joining us this week. You can revisit this week's episode or previous episodes on iTunes or wherever you grab your podcasts. And now we're on Spotify. Make sure you throw us a rating.
And send us bottles, too.
Yeah, send us bottles.
We'll take them.
I've got a desk, and there's space underneath it for some bottles. So, send them.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
It's like starting a bar, but with, none of the stress.
I think we have a special song to close with, too.
I think we have the makings of a Tales of the Cocktail-nominated bar right here in the studio.
Yeah. Maybe. Alexa, you can start fading that up right now.
A special thank you to Jeffrey and DJ Rec for the sound effects. Next week, Matthew will be back from his sabbatical. So, thanks, guys. Thanks, Damon.
Thanks, thank you. Nelson. And I just want to say one last word.
Oh.
Fuck.
Man, I wouldn't lie to get higher than a kite. Now when you see him stumbling up and down the street, you know that cat's been drinking, got no shoes.